I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Deidre.
And we're giving you
A Million Murders.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, we're back. We're back.
Yes.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm good. I worked last night, but other than that, I made overtime money, so that's good.
Yes. I did not work last night. Haven't worked in a bit. But that's all right.
I'm kind of excited about this case. It's not, or it doesn't seem to be a murder.
But there's a little bit of true crime in this, and also some seemingly otherworldly things that could be happening here. Even though it's not necessarily paranormal, it's like supernatural.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. But no, it's a good case. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So, this one is the Silent Sisters.
Yes.
Some people may have not heard of the Silent Sisters, but Deidre likes them.
I do. I'd never heard them called the Silent Sisters before.
Oh, yeah.
But their names is what really sticks out in my head. I'm like, oh, yeah. And like, they are Silent Sisters.
So, okay. So, Gloria and Aubrey Gibbons came from Barbados to England in 1960. Aubrey was in the Royal Air Force, so the two moved around together a lot. Then on April 11th of 1963, the year my mama was born, Gloria and Aubrey gave birth to twin girls. They named their girls June and Jennifer Gibbons. And I don't know about you, but I've always thought it would be so cool to be a twin.
Oh,
and
my
I've
God.
I always wanted to have a set of twins.
I always wanted a twin. But Mary-Kate
and Ashley Olsen.
Yeah, Mary-Kate and Ashley were so big when we were growing up. It was like, I was like, I need a twin and I don't have one. And then I needed a sibling and I couldn't get one of those either. So I was like, well, okay.
Well, the connection that twins have has always been like kind of cool to me. Because they're just like telepathic or they're just different. Like, they have these cool things that no one else has.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's like my friends that I went to college with that were twins. And everybody knew them. They called them either the twins or they called them by their names. And, they were, I don't know. It was like the bond. I feel like the bond of between a sibling and a twin sibling can be different. Like, it doesn't always end up that way.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say, because I feel like some twins don't have that, or they just haven't. They have it, and they don't know they have it.
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah. But like, if they're close, I feel like there's just like a special bond.
I was going to say, if we have any listeners that happen to be a twin or have twin kids, babies, like, what's some of their things that they do? Like, what's that sticks out that you notice, like, oh, it must be a twin thing? Like, I just want to know, like, because there's different things.
Oh, yeah. I know that would be interesting to hear.
So, you should write us. That'd be kind of cool. We can, you know.
Yes, yes. Any twins, any twin stories, I want to hear them. For sure.
So, June, from the start, says that they both have this strong connection. And it's kind of like a type of secret bond that they have. And her and Jennifer knew they were twins before they were even old enough to understand what twins was.
Right.
So they always had this understanding that they were split. They were two people that were split. they were identical twins, and identical twins are normally the ones that describe having the incredible bond. So, you know, you got your identical twins, your fraternal twins, and they say that the identical is the one that has the, or described as having an incredible bond. So they also had a speech impediment, and they really only could understand each other. So the girls had to repeat themselves constantly, obviously, because no one understood them. So eventually, both of them decided to just stop talking.
I mean, it has to be exhausting.
Yeah, like frustrating, especially when you're a kid and they're young at that time.
Yeah, like, and no one can understand you. It's like, ugh, well, whatever. I'll just stop talking
Yeah,
then.
so these girls kept this up for a very long time. And what's really neat is June and Jennifer ended up creating their own language. They would talk to each other in this language, but no one else obviously could understand what they're saying. And that's actually, they said that that was actually a thing that twins do. They have like their own language, which our friend Felicia, her cousin or her nephews, the twin nephews, she said that they have like their own like little language that they commute and they understand each other. It's so
It
weird.
is. It's crazy. It's well, and it's just crazy how language is like that. How you can, because I mean, every language was just created by humans, you know? Like it was, that's how it works. But like little humans just like creating their own languages to only speak with each other is wild because it's like, okay, so like you know enough words to make other words in a language. Like it's just, yeah, that
It's
whole.
interesting. And I read somewhere where they said that there's actually a phenomenon of twins that develop their own language.
That is so crazy.
Isn't it?
I know. Twins are so cool. I think twins are the coolest.
So in 1974, the family moved to Wales. At this time, the girls were 11 years old, and once the girls started school, they were actually really good students, except for them not talking at all. And a lot of their teachers were really frustrated with them because they felt like, they were well-behaved kids. They didn't get in trouble. They weren't causing any trouble. They were really smart, but they just wasn't communicating. So that was frustrating to them. And I get it. That is frustrating, especially when you're a teacher and you're trying to teach, kids and, but a lot of the teachers became extremely frustrated with them, and also the other kids started picking on them, bullying them, We knew that was coming. People just thought that they were really strange. They didn't want to talk to them and said that they were creepy, like they freaked them out. And the whole non-talking thing really weirded them out. And the fact that there was two of them just really weirded people out for some reason. Like, not only do we have one weirdo, we got two. You know what I mean? Like,
That's awful.
stupid.
Yeah.
So people kind of retaliated back on to these girls, and people said they were completely emotionless, and whenever someone tried to talk to them or call their name or, try to get their attention, they would completely ignore them and act like they didn't exist.
They're
I'm like,
like,
girl, I won't do that now. Because look.
Yeah, they're like, well, and I mean, it's like, what do y'all want? Leave me alone. I'm just out here with my sis.
And they were like, it's like in their world, they're the only ones that exist.
Yeah, it's just
It's
them
just
against the
them.
world. Like
No
it's
one
just the
else,
two of them.
Not only were they having these bullying issues because of their speech issues and the lack of talking, but they were also the only black girls in the school. The girls were definitely experiencing some racism, which made it even harder for them to get through their lives. eventually the teachers had to have them start leaving an hour earlier than everyone else so that they could avoid the bullying. That's so sad. Now, obviously, their parents wanted to know why their girls, you know, weren't talking.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers were concerned. Everyone wanted to know why. So their parents ended up taking them to a child psychologist, and that's where they were diagnosed with something called selective mutism.
Mm-hmm.
Selective mutism is a childhood anxiety disorder characterized by a child's inability to speak and communicate effectively in select social settings, such as school. I don't know why I said it like I had other options. Such as school. These children are able to speak and communicate in settings when they are comfortable, secure, and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Even after the girls had a diagnosis, the school still didn't want to deal with them. And people were fed up with it. You know, they were frustrated, felt like they were purposely just not talking. So they ended up sending them to a special education school. And this school was actually a lot better for the girls. Their teachers understood that they weren't stupid. They were actually really smart. They just had issues speaking and communicating, and that, you know, that's where they actually figured out that the girls were not speaking their... Jesus. And that is actually where they figured out that the girls were not speaking their own language. They were just speaking English, but it was very sped up and hard to understand.
Oh. So their own language is English.
I'm assuming, just... yeah.
Okay.
Because I was like, Like, have you heard them talk?
Mm-mm.
So, I was watching this video, like, getting, you know, information for the research, and there was video of them talking, and it kind of, yeah, they're like, it's sped up, and I don't know, they're kind of have like a, I don't know how to explain it, because I'm not good at explaining stuff, but.
Right, well, and they're British, so. Yeah.
So they got that British,
like, there's accent, an accent
with the speeding, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I did not know that. I didn't know it was, I knew they had their own language, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize that people found out, like, they're speaking English. It's yeah. just.
So sped
broken
up.
And fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Jennifer and June went about their lives in school, and when they weren't in school, they would go home, lock themselves in their room, and lock themselves away from society altogether.
Mm-hmm.
They also had a sister named Rosie, a younger sister, and she shared her room with them. So they would speak to her, but then when she turned 11, Rosie, she moved into her own room, and then they just stopped talking to her.
Oh.
Like, when she was rooming with them,
mm-hmm.
they were talking to each other. But when she moved out into her own room, they just quit talking to her altogether.
That's interesting. I didn't know about this little sister either.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, so they would talk to her. Because I was just, like, when you said they had a little sister that roomed with them, I thought, This kid is probably like, I'm just in here by myself because
right.
they're not going to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So they would talk. They would talk to Rosie, and then they were like, well, you out. So now mm-hmm. we're not. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like she's not in their all day to day routine. Like,
yeah. I mean, like
sleeping.
They're safe spaces.
Yeah. They're safe spaces. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So they're like, you're gone. You're out of the. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yep. These girls even had to eat and drink by themselves. Like, not, you know.
They're not at the dinner table with everybody else.
Not at the
else.
Dinner.
Mm-mm. Hmm.
They wouldn't do it in front of anyone else. Like, eat and drink. And mm-hmm. their parents would have to leave them alone in order for them to eat. So, obviously, they couldn't really do this at school. Because
yeah.
It's a cafeteria. You know, you got kids everywhere.
Yeah, you got kids, yeah.
So that when they were at the school, they would just sit as close together as they could, and they would eat in unison.
Hmm.
And when the girls were home to do anything fun, like watch a movie or a TV show or anything like that, they had to ask their parents. And when I say ask their parents, I mean write a letter to their parents saying what they wanted to watch and when they wanted to watch it. Because they didn't speak to their parents.
Right.
and they would set it up for them. They would watch it from the outside of their bedroom. They would sit in the hallway in front of their door and watch the TV downstairs. So they're at the top of the staircase looking down, watching TV.
It just, it makes me wonder if anything happened or what happened. Like, why don't they feel safe to come and be with the rest of their family?
Well, when the girls were 11, they started to walk in sync with each other. Like, it's wild.
Yeah.
I was like, dang. Their steps were completely in sync with one another, unless someone would walk by and look at them. They would just completely stop and just stare at them and wouldn't start walking again until they left. That person left them. So as you can tell, the girls really had that twin bond that we hear of.
Right.
Some even say twin bonds. Some people call them twin bonds on steroids.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, this was not something that they were happy about. But how do you know they're not happy about it?
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? They're not talking to y'all.
No emotion, nothing.
Yeah.
They said that they had no choice but to act this way. And they even wrote in their diaries about how they thought it would be a good idea for them to separate. Which this was shocking because they were doing everything together. And they started walking in sync.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, dang, they both wrote in their diaries like, I think it'd be best if we were separated.
Yeah, they're like very codependent on each other. 1,000, like they are codependent.
Mm-hmm.
1,000,000% through and through.
Yep. And they even said that in their diary that if they were to separate, they said that this would give them the opportunity to live a normal life, eat, talk, you know. So eventually it was decided that the girls would be separated and that they would move away from each other in order to learn social skills. And this way they would be able to become more independent.
Mm-hmm.
This is a letter from June to Kathy in 1977, and Kathy is the instructor at the special needs school that they took them to, transferred them to.
Right.
So June says, it would be a good idea if we separate. I think one should go and one should stay here. We act stupid when we're together. Some people think we don't want to separate, but we want to because it really is the best thing for us. This is a letter from Jennifer to Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer said, it would be good if we separate. We both fight for the best things. We're both willing to lead our own lives, but when we're together, we just keep depending on each other too much. So the move ended up being a really hard thing on the girls.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped eating, sleeping, and they wouldn't dress, and they became catatonic. And if you don't know, catatonic is a state of psychomotor immobility and behavioral abnormality due to a lack of critical mental function.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that they had to bring them back together, the people.
Mm-hmm.
This was only making matters worse, having them separated. So they went back home, back to their room. Back to their room, not talking to anyone, just like they always did. And at one point, the girls even decided to buy a course that teaches you how to communicate effectively with people and how to talk.
Mm-hmm.
They did it, and the course didn't help them. June said that they tried for a while, but they just weren't able to break their silence. And after years of this, it became difficult for them, which is understandable.
Yeah.
But also difficult for the people around them. And the girls ended up becoming depressed.
Mm.
So then they decided to channel all of their feelings into something, you know, a way that they could express themselves. So they decided to start writing books.
Mm-hmm.
They figured that this could help them with their communication, stuff like that, like, you know.
Yeah.
And by the summer of 1981, the girls had filled several notebooks with writings.
Mm-hmm.
They even tried to get some of their work published, but actually at this point, they thought that they were going to make it, you know, really big.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the books did not do well at all, and their work barely got any attention. And this was really hard on them as well, because they thought it was, you know, so good, and it was really all they had, I guess, to be hopeful about.
Right.
So once that was gone, they became really depressed. When the girls were 16 years old, they actually met another pair of twins from America.
Oh.
They were actually two boys around the same age. And the four of them ended up spending the whole summer together.
Okay.
They kind of went a little crazy with these guys. Started to party a little bit.
Mm-mm.
They were able to get drunk. Get a little looser than they, you know, always were. And the boys were kind of partiers. And they liked to...
American boys.
Mm-hmm. They liked to go to the clubs, you know, stuff like that. After a while, things really got intense with the boys and the girls because they started to argue over them.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that these girls were really close, loved each other a lot. But I think they did, but they were... They had a really toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just from, like, all the details that we've gathered.
Right.
They started to get at each other's throats, literally, because Jennifer had a diary entry where she talked about how she tried to strangle June with a radio cord.
Oh, Lord.
A radio cord.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, see, they've been together this whole time. They've never been, like, this is like their first loves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's going to be very, very big.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, they're, like, about to... So, yeah, they're about to, like, fight each other over these boys. Lord bless them. But they, like, there's something very primal about them. Like, it's very much just, like... They're going to react. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be violent. Sometimes, you know, I just feel like they're just, I don't know. They're not communicating. It's putting them on like a different level.
Yeah.
Almost, you know, together.
Mm-hmm. Boys were forced to go back to America at the end of the summer. And this was hard on Jennifer and June. Mm-hmm. They decided that they were going to take their anger out on society. That they were going to do something bad, and specifically, they wanted to do as much damage as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I said, whoo! So that October, June and Jennifer went and burned down a huge store in their town.
Mm-hmm.
And in June's diary, she talked about how proud she was, and she said that it was the best day of her life. And she also mentioned that she was going to keep doing it until she got caught. She said she wonders if maybe this will be the first Christmas that she spends in jail. Well, they did get caught, and they did end up getting put in jail, and that they actually got caught because of Jennifer's diary.
Okay, so they were like, we think it was those twins. And then they were like, oh, yep, it's right here in the diary.
Yeah, and they got caught because of that diary entry.
Yes.
And that's how they were able to prove, you know, that they did it. So, Joe was pretty much hell for them.
Mm-hmm.
They would be put into a cell together, but they'd end up fighting, and they'd be separated. But then when they were separated, they were practically paralyzed without one another.
Yeah.
They could barely function, walk, talk. They had to be kept together, so they kept putting them back together. It's weird because it seemed like they hated each other at this point.
Right.
You know, because of the boys. It was like, that's where it's... I'm sure it started a long time ago, but that was like the icing on the cake, was the boys.
Right.
And it just spiraled from there more out. But yeah, I mean, at this point, I think they'd hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually said that they hated each other and that they just wished each other would die. So now doctors at the time started to believe that maybe they were in the early stages of schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't full-blown yet.
Right.
But this ended up being not true, apparently. They were, in fact, never schizophrenic, and the judge didn't really know what to do with them. And they hated to keep them in prison because they knew that if they did, they wouldn't get in treatment for help.
Right.
This is going to make it worse and probably would never allow them to ever have, you know, hope of getting out one day if they just, you know, stayed in jail and didn't get treatment.
Right.
Or try to, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're dealing with people with a mental illness, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like, yeah, you can put them in jail because they committed arson, but obviously there's a bigger issue here, and like the jail is not going to be equipped to handle two selective mutism twins that are now fighting with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and so were they both after the same guy? The same twin? Or were they just fighting?
It said that they started to fight over them. So I don't know if...
Like one of them, like if they wanted both of them?
Both of them wanted the same one, you know?
Right, yeah. Or if like one of them wanted both of them. It's like, no, yeah. I want these twins. You know, I just couldn't tell for sure. Yeah. Okay.
But the doctors believed that they needed treatment. So,
yeah,
you know, it was decided that they were going to be staying at the Broadmoor Hospital indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And at 19 years old, the girls entered the mental health facility, and they were not happy to be there.
Mm. Yeah.
They said that there was way too many people there. They hated it. They felt stressed out. And this stressed out their family. So for the next 2 years after that, they were kept in the hospital in separate wards, completely separate from each other. And they could write letters to their parents and to each other, but that was it.
Mm.
And in one of Jennifer's letters to June, she talked about how she knew she was going to die eventually. But she knew she was going to die sooner than later and sooner than her twin was going to die.
Hmm. Yeah.
So being separated made the girls eventually start to hallucinate. And it was that bad for them. Like that's how bad it was. They were hallucinating.
Yeah. This is wild.
And this is when they were diagnosed with schizophrenia, even though everything I looked at, like research, like, they were like, it wasn't true, like they weren't schizophrenic.
Yeah. Well, the hallucinations would definitely make you suspect.
Because
mm-hmm. like we were talking about with schizophrenia, well, any mental illness in general, a lot of it, like the bigger ones or the ones that are a little more specific than like depression and anxiety are going to kick up mm-hmm. when they're about 19, 20 years old. And like schizophrenia is one of those as well. So with those hallucinations, they probably were like, oh, maybe they're schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. And back then, because this would have been what, the 80s?
Yeah, this is the 80s. So,
yeah. So, I mean, they knew more than they did in the 60s, but
yeah,
it still wasn't anything like, you know, they know mm-hmm. now.
Well, they were also given tranquilizers. June said it made them eventually start to speak, but also made them really foggy.
Yeah.
Like, their memory just wasn't working right. Their brain was slower than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they just felt like they were in a fog.
Yeah.
It was also too hard for them to even write because they couldn't see very well under, you know, the medications that they were on.
Yeah.
Eventually, the girls did start speaking, and they thought that this would allow them to be released. But this was not the case. Every year they'd have another court date. The judge would rule that they'd have to stay in there another year or two. So this went on and on until the girls had spent 12 years in the hospital.
Mm.
It started to seem like the judge just wanted to keep them in there because they were different.
Right. Like they didn't strange. Know what else to do. Yeah.
They're weird and unpredictable, whatever, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So a month before the girls turned 30, they were transferred to a different hospital that had kind of a more laid back kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
It was less strict. They could relax it a little bit more and they'd, you know, they felt better in this place.
Right. Which I can imagine being somewhere for 12 years.
Yeah.
And being miserable, but you're stuck there. And then somebody's finally like, hey, we think you'll feel better here. And it's like, well, thank God. Finally, someone has rescued us. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Well, when they were leaving from the old hospital to the new hospital, Jennifer started saying how she didn't feel well. She had pain. She just felt super sick overall. And remember when she told June that she was going to die?
Mm-hmm.
So once they got to the new facility, they took her to the hospital. And shortly after she arrived, Jennifer died on March 9th. The cause of death was acute myocarditis, which is sudden inflammation of the heart. Mm. I seen where there was something that was talking about how it's rarely fatal.
Mm.
And so the fact that she died was super weird and she was really young.
Right.
But there was no evidence of drugs, poison in her system. They just said she died of natural causes. But I did see where they were like, you know, acute myocarditis it's rarely fatal.
Right.
I bet she could have been that rare.
Right. She could have been that one in a millionth person that dies from it. Because, I mean, people can die from the hiccups.
Yeah. And it's crazy because she literally was, like, predicting that she was going to die. And then she just...
Right. Yeah. Like, she knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, Jennifer's tombstone says, "We once were two. We two made one. We no more. Two through life. Be one. Rest in peace."
Hmm.
June actually wrote this poem for her tombstone before Jennifer even died.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
I mean, they said they knew that the one was going to die before the other. That's wild. Yeah. This is such an interesting case to me because it's like they have a mental illness, right? But also, there's something supernatural about, like, how they knew that the one was going to die and the other one was going to go on and live and, you know, like, because didn't one of them say, like, at some point they were like, one of us will have to die so the other one can live?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was like they were so codependent, but their codependency didn't help them. I mean, codependency doesn't help anyone, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you would think it would at least help them be able to do things. It's like they can do things, but not without the other.
Right.
But theirs was so, like it caused like a repression in them almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they just wouldn't talk to anyone, you know? And it was like, if you were brought into their safe space, you may be able to talk to them, like Rosie, the little sister, but I feel like that's only because they've known her whole life.
Right, yeah.
Like, not just their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like they've watched her be born and grow, and so they're like, okay, she's cool while she's in here.
While she's in here, but yeah, once she's out, it's a wrap.
It's nothing. Yeah, like, no, you're just like mom and dad at that point.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. But June stayed in the facility for about another year. She wrote in her diary all about her sister and how she was dealing with the grief of her sister.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, she was actually relieved that she was gone, and she felt like there was a weight lifted off of her shoulders. Mm-hmm. She felt like she was finally freed from this insanely tight and toxic relationship that she had with her sister. And the weirdest part is that June and Jennifer actually knew that one of them had to die in order for the other to have a good life.
Mm.
And they said that if only one of them was alive, they'd be free from suffering. So this, I guess, was a blessing in disguise for June, I guess you could say.
Right.
And for Jennifer, too, because, I mean,
they just couldn't have a quality of life for the time that they were born.
Yeah.
Like, that whole era. Like, I mean, mental health is still so stigmatized as it is. So back then, you know, I mean, there weren't, I just feel like there's more outlets for specific things. Like, if they did have schizophrenia, there are programs for people in, like, the early onset stages of schizophrenia to try to combat what you can, because you can't stop yourself from, you know, like, you're not going to be able to cure your schizophrenia, but you can use these coping skills. You can learn how to work around some of the more behavioral parts that don't include hallucinations, hearing voices, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they just really didn't have access to that. And no one knew what to do with them. I mean, I feel like they almost became wards of the state. I mean, I think they were. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because they're just like moving them around everywhere. I mean, they may still be in their parents' care, but I just feel like they almost feel like wards of the state.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be called over there. Because we have states and they don't. But yeah.
Well, March 18th of 1994, they decided that they were going to release June from the facility. And it took June a long time to process her sister's death and to stop feeling guilty about being the one that didn't die, because she knew that one of them had to. And some even say that Jennifer planned her death.
Right. But, like, think maybe she completed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Without people knowing.
But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but they couldn't find any traces of anything. And you would think if there was something that wasn't traceable, it wouldn't be something in a mental health facility.
Right. And you know, I don't know. I don't know why this would be in the case, but a lot of people, like the, what do they call the coroner? A lot of them lie or just go through it quickly and then they have to call for another autopsy and then it's different. You know what I mean? Like, it's completely different. But, I mean, I'm not saying that that's the case, but, I mean, that it could be, but...
Yeah, I honestly really think she did just...
She could have just... Yeah, could have just been... She was that one in a million or whatever.
This has got me on a twin kick.
Okay, twin. This is my second twin case I've done.
What was the other twin case?
I can't think of their names, but the blonde girls, and they say the one drove off the cliff on purpose.
Oh, yes. That's a big case. That's a really big case.
So this is my second twin case.
Yeah, they had a toxic, a much more toxic relationship than Jennifer and June.
Imagine... them not being so antisocial. Imagine them being social. I wonder if they would be extremely toxic like them.
Right. You know? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that wraps up the Silent Sisters.
I loved it, of course. This is good.
Yeah, it's interesting. It gets you thinking too.
For sure, for sure.
Well, you can check out our email. Well, you can email us at amelliamurders@gmail.com if you have questions, comments, concerns, stories you'd like to tell, or experiences.
Yes. Yes. Send them in. Send them in, y'all. We love to see them. If you sent one in, send it again. Because I did just clean out our email because our email was really backed up with a bunch of random stuff.
Yeah, I seen
and
that.
I didn't see any emails in there. But if you're like, hey, I sent them an email and they haven't responded, just send it again.
Yeah.
And we'll see it this time. But yeah, and you can also follow us at A Million Murders on Instagram. And you can go to our Facebook page A Million Murders. We have a page and a group. But I think we're mostly in the group than the page, or vice versa. But either way. Yeah. And
I think that's it. Well, thanks for tuning in.
Yes, thank you. We hope you come back for a million more.
Bye.